Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer, drinking, and trying not to choke.
No problem. There's no problems here. I'm here for the show. I'm in the show.
That was the loudest gulp.
Vocal warm-up
fake.
Should happen before recording.
That was like a cartoon gulp. That was wow. And to my left is Will Hottie Patati Schmidt. What's going on, Will?
Did you mean to gurgle that?
Yeah.
I gurgled it up.
Okay.
I was drowning in my own water. Yeah. And like do the Heimlich maneuver or something.
I used to do that for vocal training stuff.
Give people the Heimlich gurgle. Heimlich
Well, warm sea salt and lemon and stuff. Did you do that? No. Inquire. Oh, we would before competition. We couldn't have any milk or any dairy.
Well, Tony knows the best about laryngitis.
Jeez, for probably 3 years, every time someone met me, then I wasn't. Able to talk at all, they were like, oh, why don't you just try some warm water with lemon?
Yeah.
Why don't you just put some honey and some tea?
I'm cured.
Thank you for that. So I got arrested a lot for punching a lot of people in the face during that time.
Aw. Well, I'm sorry I mentioned to it. You mentioned it to you every time.
Oh, no, good
I
times.
Saw
yeah,
time. So today is more Ask Tony
Nailed
questions.
It.
I'm getting good at that.
I know. You should be an announcer.
I should. Some days. These are questions that are, asked by Rick from the group.
I don't think we have any Rick questions.
We don't have any Rick questions at all.
But I saw he had another good one that I want to do soon, so I'm excited about that. But some of these are actually that we got from email, because people have been emailing us lately asking questions, and we have some of those here, too.
Wow, nobody's been emailing me. I guess I'm not fancy.
Oh, well, I'll email you.
Oh,
I certainly have some questions for
you. Sure you will. So today, let's just head right on in. You want to?
Yeah, I'm not scared, Will.
Head right on in. Okay, Yvonne. Is this Miss Yvonne from Pee Wee's Playhouse? Because I know her personally.
Really? I don't think it is. And if it is, she might be upset once you read the question.
Yes, she will be. Because it's, how can you fix constant diarrhea that feels like pure acid?
Twitter Yvonne.
Her real name, Lindstrom.
So the old flaming buttock trick. So, this is, we hear from a lot of people with this issue, but we've never really talked about this specifically so much on the show, so I really wanted to get this on because I actually like it. If someone has chronic diarrhea and they're like, yeah, it really burns, then that I like
means
that.
They've got too much acid, huh?
Yeah, it kind of helps us figure out.
They need to work on their bile.
Yeah, nailed
Kenna
it.
Is smart.
Next question. Kenna's got it going on.
Yeah.
So, with diarrhea, there can be a lot of causes, and that's why fixing chronic diarrhea can be a little bit tricky. This is the perfect opportunity for us to talk about Kenna's diarrhea.
Oh, yeah.
It's been so long since we've talked about Kenna's chronic diarrhea on the show.
A whole week.
But anyways, when we talk about improving diarrhea, we always talk about telling people to fix the bile flow issue. But that's not always the problem. Maybe let's start with that, though. So why would improving bile flow improve some cases of diarrhea? Will Wolfgang Hottie Patati Schmidt.
That's too long for the SATs.
Okay.
Yeah, I still want to know where Wolfgang came from.
You want me to answer the burning diarrhea question or that Wolfgang?
Oh, I'd rather have Wolfgang, but I bet
so they have separate answers.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do have separate answers then?
He came from burning diarrhea. Wolfgang!
Can't just say A. No. Wolfgang was the name my dad wanted to name me when I was young.
Because he was into Amadeus?
I don't know. He just liked it. But my parents are both from Minnesota. My mom's like, you can't name him Wolfgang.
He's going to get beat up.
Minneapolis suburbs. So they didn't name me that, and I just took it on as a middle name because my dad really liked it. So I took
it on
when I was younger.
So your real name's Justin, though.
Justin William.
Justin William.
If you want to find me, my social is... What are you exposing me? You're exposing us all. Yvonne, now me. Who's next?
So, whose diarrhea do we talk about next?
But the diarrhea issue related to one of the possible causes being...
For bile flow, yeah.
Yeah, impaired bile flow. Is what's supposed to happen is your stomach acidifies the food, with hydrochloric acid, and then that bolus is the medical term for it, leaves the stomach. It's an acidified...
The bolus is the food mixed with the stomach.
Yeah, acid, the food right. sludge from the stomach. It goes into... It goes into the duodenum, which is the start of the small intestine, and that's where the gallbladder should squirt bile onto it, chemically neutralizing the acid, so it has a nice balanced pH where it can then go through the intestinal tract at a close to neutral pH. Like, I think there's different variants in the pH of the intestinal tract, but it's pretty close to neutral most of the time.
Okay, so let's say that bile is not flowing well enough. It does not get squirted onto that acid bolus.
Squirt,
now
I just
what
hate
happens?
That word, squirt.
And that,
squirt.
Excreted.
Okay, that's better.
Okay. Also accurate. So then you have this acidic food sludge burning the intestinal tract, and then your body will like freak out and be like, get it out of here, and you'll flush it out in a rapid
speed. Yeah, because that acid stuff is going to basically digest your intestinal tract. It's made to digest protein, and the intestinal tract is made of protein.
Yeah.
So as the body not only wants to rush it out the back door, but it'll also call any water that it can to come and cool that down, and then that makes the diarrhea even more liquidy. And
then you got a crock pot going on.
Yeah. So then it comes out, and it will really burn because it's acidic, and that acidic product should still not be in existence by the time it gets to the back door. By the time it gets to the back door, it should have cooled off long, long ago. So the reason I like it when this happens is because that's a pretty clear sign of what's going on for that person's diarrhea. It's pretty clear that the stool is very acidic and it did not get neutralized by bile. So if we can take steps to improve that bile, there's no more flaming, squirting stuff.
I know what to do.
What should we do, Kenna?
Really,
Kenna has her hand raised.
Beet flow flush, coffee suppositories, Enoplex.
Coffee enema, maybe, if you want that instead.
Yeah.
Those are all excellent things to do. Mm-hmm. You can put your hand down.
And we talk about how to do those things in the Almost Free Digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. So you can learn, like, how do I go about doing a beet flow flush, or where do I get Zenoplex and that kind of thing, or why would I do a coffee enema?
Right, and what we're doing in beet flow, it contains a lot of beet greens. And don't get a beet root supplement. That won't do the same thing. But the beet greens tend to thin the bile so that it can flow better, and then it can neutralize that acid, so then the stool can move at a slower pace. You get to actually assimilate the nutrients that are in that food, and it doesn't come screaming out the back door. It's a good time all around. Mm-hmm. You really want that to happen.
And then you make a pretty poop.
Yeah. I think an important thing to talk about here is that you can also, like Yvonne said, it feels like pure acid, but it can also be overly alkaline burns.
True. So,
whoa, you just blew your mind.
Because think about that, something acidic like that is going to irritate the lining of your intestinal tract and scream it through the system. But over alkalinity can irritate that lining just as much as over acidity would.
Mm-hmm. So then you would need acid.
You would need more acid to balance that out. That's when we come back to Kenna's diarrhea, because that was her situation.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
She had more diarrhea than anyone I had ever heard of, ever. Like, it was constant.
You would have thought that I would have been skinny, though, because but I guess I wasn't getting any nutrients, though.
Right. So we tried to improve her bile flow, and, like, the diarrhea was getting worse. And I was just like, maybe you're just broken.
But then
we realized that we needed to improve her acid, and then the stool could be more balanced. Acid levels. So, a lot of times diarrhea is caused by overalkalinity, so good bile flow without enough stomach acid. But in most cases, it won't burn quite as much. It can be irritating, absolutely. But just from personal experience with clients, I find that most times when they say, hey, it's flaming, that those people usually benefit by improving bile flow.
And I think it'd be useful to point out some other indicators that people can look at.
Let's do it. Let's point them. Let's be pointy.
To try to figure out, well, which one is it? Yeah. Am I too acid?
Am I a weird unicorn like Kenna?
Right.
Or am I like, most people?
In Kenna's case, like Tony, you've mentioned this repeatedly in the past, but not for a while. So, like, you were able to help do a test with Kenna by having her, she took a little hydrochloric acid, right?
That's a good test to tell somebody.
And it got better. It's like, oh, wow. Okay, so that just balanced out the pH of her bowel movement a little bit, and it got better. If it got worse, they go, okay, that's a nice little confirming thing that it's already too acid and we just put more acid in. So that can be a painful test to run, but it worked for helping figure out what the issue was. And then you can also look at other indicators of impaired bile flow using the different self-tests that we teach how to do in the Digestive Issues course. Like if you do the urine dipstick test, do we teach how to do that in that course or no?
Yes. Okay. The 11 parameter urine dipsticks.
Yes.
We just added that in.
Great. So when we look at that, if you see bilirubin or urobilogen on your urine dipstick, that's a really strong indicator that some bile flow issues are the problem. And also if your saliva pH is low, if you're itchy, like your body's itchy, if your skin is blotchy or if you have acne issues, if you're gassy or bloated in the mid or lower abdomen, these are all, and if your stool is light in color.
That's a big one.
These are all indicators of poor bile flow, in which case like focusing on correcting bile could help relieve the diarrhea. So doing the beet flow and Zenoplex or coffee enemas or all three, that would be good in that case. And then if you have other issues that look like low acid, those would be things like burping, bloating in your upper abdomen,
acid reflux,
heartburn, undigested food in your stool, lower blood pressure.
Your stool could also be green. Now, this is kind of tricky because if you ate a bunch of green stuff and it didn't get digested, your stool can be green. But if you have diarrhea and you have plenty of bile but not enough acid, that stool can commonly be green because bile is green.
What if your poop is hard and it's really, really brown?
Well, then good job.
Oh,
good
job, brown, poop. Brown?
Brown, dark brown,
like
the forest floor. Will always says forest floor,
okay,
don't you?
Okay. Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
usually make fun of him when he says that.
It's because the ground.
Because that's really worm poo. Like it's really that color.
Right. Yeah. That's what you're shooting for.
Well, I had a good poo. Then
good job.
Yeah.
Well, in the show notes, we'll have a picture of Kenneth's poop.
I'm gonna start an Instagram account every day. I'm gonna take a picture of my poo. Watch it'll go viral.
Is that legal?
Like, morning poos.
If they censor women's nipples, they should definitely censor poo.
Yeah, hopefully they do. So we should probably get to another question.
All right. Tammy, this is another email that she sent in. I have chronic pain, neuropathic pain disorder, lupus, fibromyalgia, and insomnia. Just the fun stuff. I know I don't eat healthy enough and I am a chocoholic, but I know that my eating issues are sometimes caused by my pain and insomnia because I don't have the strength to cook properly, or I just look for quick meals or just don't eat at all. Popcorn nights are pretty common. I also know that taking OTC medicines don't help with my digestion or liver, but sometimes you have no choice. I've always known that a lot of medicines and food are prepared by chemicals, crap for our bodies, but how good is taking protein powders, vitamin capsules, etc.? Are we not still putting chemicals into our body, making it hard for the liver to filter out? You may have already covered this, but how do you know if the product you are buying is giving you the most benefit?
That is a good,
that's a good question.
It really is. Really? And, you know, we talk a lot in Kick Your Fat in the Nuts when we talk about supplements that, you know, there's a reason that you hear so much good and so much bad about supplements. And first of all, you have to consider that is the supplement right for you? Because if it's going to push your chemistry further into an imbalance, then all of a sudden your supplement is harming you. You bought it to make you feel better, but it's causing more of a problem. So that's a really big deal that most people skip out on altogether. The second thing is most supplements that you can buy in the store are junk. It's garbage. And they say that most people will assimilate maybe 4% of whatever nutrients are in the supplement. And so we teach people that a lot of these cheap national brands that you could buy anywhere at a drugstore or something like that, they're often filled with these binders that make them easier to process, less expensive to process, but they restrict your body's ability to digest or assimilate the nutrients in those supplements, but they can also restrict your body's ability to assimilate the food that you're eating. Dicalcium phosphate is a big one of those. It's a very common binder. You walk down a grocery store where they're selling supplements, where most of those are just the cheap, anybody can buy them things, like 80% of them are filled with that garbage that makes it so you can't assimilate anything, and it makes your food hard to assimilate. So it's a real problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just...
That was a great follow-up.
I just thoroughly empathize with it. Like, in the process of our making our own protein, it took us 3 years
to really find ingredients that we felt okay about.
It was so
we were willing
hard.
To use.
And to travel the you know, the forests of Cambodia.
Yeah, all that... Like recruiting,
but I would get so upset.
Peoples.
I would go shopping for supplements, and I would look for something, and I'd be reading the ingredients, and it'd be like, "Ooh, it's good, it's good, it's good." Aww.
Yeah, and then it's like,
"It's good, it's good."
Titanium
aww.
Dioxide or something.
Yeah, and
like
it's
that.
Like I would what? Get so upset until we tried to make our own protein powder, and we were like, "Oh, it's really hard."
Yeah,
because you can put all the right ingredients you want, and every person gags, or you know, it took us forever to get it flavored to where a person could use it and still have healthy, beneficial ingredients in it.
Yeah, and like some people, I love it. I think it tastes amazing, and a lot of people do. Some people don't like it though, and they think it tastes bitter. And I think that's because they're so conditioned by all these artificial sweeteners.
Candy, protein powder.
Yeah, even like ethanol alcohols and these like semi-natural sweeteners that just like chemically barrage you. Like we don't put any sugar in it. We only use stevia and natural plant aromatics. So like for some people, stevia tastes bitter or has a bitter aftertaste. And we just didn't compromise. We didn't also put in like inulin.
Johann Long or something like one that some people use.
Yeah, because we know like, for a lot of people, that creates digestive issues. Like,
or food sensitivity issues and all those kind of things. So we were trying to create something that wouldn't move imbalances either direction, had nutrition that's hard to get, like all of the gelatin, collagen type of stuff that people might be able to get only from bone broth sources. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to use whey or soy or any of those other things. So you're right, Tammy, that most of the stuff out there that they pitch as healthy, I mean, even if it is pretty clean, if it's like a whey or a soy protein, it could still be causing all kinds of problems.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nutrients out there that are really detrimental for a lot of people, especially if their hormones are off already. But to try to like answer her questions a little bit more, we have some episodes we did on insomnia, like a two-part series. And we did one on fibromyalgia.
We didn't do one on fibromyalgia yet, but we're totally going to. We do have one on chronic pain.
Yeah.
So you can put that in the search box at kickitnaturally.com. But when you look at those issues, and I've known people with this, I feel for you. I understand that the chronic pain restricts your ability to do some of the right things that could make you feel better. The problem is that some people get so fed up with the pain that they're like, okay, I'm going to do it. And they follow advice that's out there to eat a certain way, and it doesn't bring about a response, so they quit. And the problem with issues like lupus, fibromyalgia, and especially insomnia, is that all of those things can have different underlying causes that are creating them. So it's more important to be able to look at your chemistry, see what's going on to get an idea of what could be causing your pain, and then you can start moving in that direction. Because you want to be able to put some effort in and be able to see something improve, because that'll motivate you to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real important.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at like, okay, sometimes maybe she has to use medications and things like that because she's just in too much pain or whatever else. But I think even if you are doing that or not, it's really important to focus in on the fundamental of trying to get your digestion to be as good as possible. And then with all these different potential causes of these different issues like insomnia, learn to look at your own chemistry and see what are the main markers that are off. Like, is your blood pressure way off? Is your breath rate way off? Is it too fast or too slow? What's your urine dipstick showing? All
right,
these things.
Because what happens is, like, especially with insomnia, there's a variety of causes, but the two most common are somebody that's dealing with a catabolic imbalance, which we teach a lot about in our Almost Free Digestion course. And the other one is an anabolic imbalance that may be causing spikes and crashes in blood sugar. But either of those imbalances, when pushed too far, can change the pH of the tissues. It can push potassium and sodium and all these things in the wrong place at the cellular level, and can make to where your tissues are actually literally frying in acidity or alkalinity, and all those nerve endings are basically frying up, and it can cause pain in a variety of ways. So that's something to look at if you're also really dealing with insomnia, because that's a pretty big coincidence to be dealing with both of those issues. So when you start looking at your chemistry, now you have a place to start from. But to get back to the supplement question, the bad news is that most of the high quality supplements are only sold through healthcare practitioners. Those companies only sell them through practitioners, because then any lawsuit goes on the practitioner instead of the supplement company. So it can be hard to find the high quality stuff unless you're working with a health coach or some type of doctor that uses something high quality. But you can still look at ingredients and say, okay, what kind of binders do I want to avoid? You want to avoid the dicalcium phosphate stuff. You want to look at the ingredients and say, okay, can I pronounce all this stuff? Because that can be important when you're looking at the other ingredients.
I think I'm going to become a high-quality supplement mule, you know, and just, like, go pick a whole bunch up and then sell it out of the back of my car.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a good article Ray Pete wrote on his website called Carrageenan Food Additives and Other Food Junk or something like that. Or if you just type food junk into the search box at raypete.com, you'll see he mentioned some of the other common things that people are adding that a lot of people are just trying to slip by, like carrageenan and stuff.
It starts with food too. Like, right. That's on the list of stuff that they say that another, to look for on the label.
Another great book, carrageenan and guar gum. These things that are people aren't really thinking about, like, oh, they're natural fibers or whatever, but they've been shown to, like, either slow down your thyroid or damage your intestinal tract. Yeah, so you don't want any. You want to know, like, what there is to know about the different ingredients that might be added to something. And you also want to know specifically, what are you trying to achieve with your supplement or your food? I do want to mention, like, she's afraid of putting chemicals in her body. Everything's a chemical, really, when you think about it. Like, milk, that's made of chemicals, and eggs and leaves are all chemicals. So, like, you're going to have to eat. So I'm not afraid of it being chemicals. I'm afraid of it being bad chemicals or inappropriate for you chemicals. So when you learn to look at your chemistry, you can see, like, okay, what am I trying to shift or achieve? Am I trying to get my blood pressure to be up higher or lower? Am I trying to get so my cells make energy better and my breath rate speeds up? What is it? So you have something that you can observe, whether it's through a symptom or a measurement that you take on your chemistry, and then...
And these measurements are easy to do. We're just talking about, like, checking your pHs with urine, or maybe you look at your blood pressure, or the rate at which you breathe. We teach how to do all these steps, and they're super simple.
Yeah. And, like, the coach course that I'm about to do a little live... previously recorded live thing, y'all talk about the hierarchy of, like, what should be looked at first, like, like, if you have certain imbalances, or, like, what's the most important thing you should work on first before the others will maybe fall into place just by fixing that.
So that's really important to know how to, like, track and monitor your body's responses to things. It really matters how you feel also, but it's also really great to have other mathematical sort of things you can use to track so that you don't get caught up in, like, a placebo effect, or so that you can detect positive changes that are happening before you notice them. Like, looking at, like, your urine dipstick, you may not realize that you're not peeing out protein anymore, but you might have, you know, before you necessarily have all your energy back. You could, if you were paying attention, see this really positive shift that happened ever since you started taking, like, vitamin E or a collagen supplement, you know?
Right. So, but this is a big problem, and it was a really big problem for us with our clients before we started this show and even the books and everything, just getting access to the higher quality stuff. And what we did with a company called Empirical Labs, who their products were only available through healthcare practitioners. And we said, well, listen, if we teach people in our books how to use the digestion ones, some of these more basic things, will you allow us to sell them to our book readers on a website that we partner with? And they were okay with doing that, because people get upset that, why can't I just buy a BeatFlow at my store? And it's just, when you're using something that's a higher quality, it's not going to be as accessible and we kind of worked out a situation with them to make it accessible. They still have a lot of other products that we teach in our coach course that are not available to the public. You do have to have a health coach kind of say, okay, you're allowed to buy that in order to use those ones. But there are a few things that people seem to do right more often. And one of those is digestive enzymes. If you do something in a capsule, they don't seem to use as many binders in digestive enzymes. And I think one of those reasons is because all of the cheap companies that sell nationally in gazillion bottles sold every 15 minutes, none of them really do digestive enzymes, I don't think. Maybe that's why a lot of them are not a big problem. Same with betaine HCl. If you can find one in a capsule that doesn't have other ingredients, they usually don't have binders either. From the ones that we have clients that have seen and book readers have used and told us about. So those are a couple that seem to be easier to find in like a health food store type thing. But like when it comes to like BeetFlow, we don't have the option of making that available everywhere yet. Maybe someday we will. But so the rule is you really got to look at what you're using and you got to make sure it's right for your chemistry. Those are the two biggest things when it comes to using supplements if you're trying to move away from using something that we kind of know is more harmful, and that is most of the over-the-counter drugs that are kind of beating up the liver a little bit so they can function.
If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
Totally sounded recorded.
Totally.
She's just good at
it. Tala. All right, we got another question. One more question, people. Yulia. Is that how we're going to say it?
I like that. Yeah.
Yulia. All right. Yulia. Love your podcast. You guys are great. Thanks. Can you please do one about mercury detox and chelation? I have problems with it. Even seen a naturopath about it and did what she recommended and mercury went down, but still having tingling in my hands and feet. Appreciate your advice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And she's from Melbourne, Australia.
Right.
Yeah, I like Australians.
And I think she posted on our Kick It in the Nuts site, or maybe she emailed this to us. I can't remember. But let's talk about a few different topics here. Let's come back to the mercury detox thing.
Is that chelation the hot things that they put on your back?
No.
Oh, damn. Thought it was.
Before we come back to chelation and mercury kind of stuff, let's talk about the fact that other things can cause tingling and some of the other things that she's dealing with.
Yeah. I think I talked a lot about that in the episode on pain, right?
Yeah, it seems like we mentioned it recently too, but...
Yeah. I mean, I've talked a lot about the body pain that I used to have in my extremities. It was tingling, clenching, cramping. I know I talked about it a lot in the episode we did on energy production. I don't remember what episode that was, but... If you search at kickitnaturally.com, you'll see that episode. But when the cells don't have enough energy available, they'll start to malfunction. So like muscle cells will clench and cramp. Nerve cells will start to get inflamed and overexcited. They'll take up too much calcium and can be stuck in either constant stimulation, which can either signal motor signals to activate muscles or can signal pain signals to make things hurt. So when you look at, do your cells have what they need to be able to make energy sufficiently? Like, is your thyroid running right? Do you have enough electrolytes? Is there blood sugar available? Is there protein stimulating your thyroid system? Like, all these things need to come into place to support regular cellular energy production. And when they do, that will also support regular hydration levels in the cells and regular electrolyte distribution within the cells. And that is a huge thing behind like restless leg syndrome. We talked a lot about that, where there's like uncontrollable clenching, cramping of muscle cells due to energy production failure. And I think tingling is along the same lines of what's going wrong, whether it's with muscle cells and tension and uncontrollable contraction versus also nerve overstimulation, excitation, inflammation, pain.
Right, and you know, that's one thing that seems to be common, but there's other issues that a person could look at too, and like you know, where is the body sending the blood flow? Is blood flow not going to the extremities for a reason? Is the person in an overly sympathetic state? And it seems like she mentioned at some place that her blood pressure was low. Maybe if it wasn't in this question, I think I saw that she mentioned that in the support group or something. And you see, it's pretty common to see that in a lot of females, when blood pressure is very low, you'll also see that their breath rate is very low, and that could be pushing them into this sympathetic state where blood flow is more into the main organs, where and not going to the extremities as much. So there's a variety of issues that could be causing this. It's not just a mercury thing that would cause it. You may have improved your mercury levels, but there could still be other issues going on. But let's still talk about mercury detox and maybe some things that a person could do in that situation, because there's so many things that people recommend. There's really a battle of people say, this really works for heavy metal detox, and it seems like the other half of the people say, yeah, that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
When I was dealing with heavy overload, iron overload kind of stuff, and I was trying to get my iron levels down, I tried a lot of those things. A lot of the EDTA is a supplement that a lot of people use. People say to use cilantro and garlic and chlorella and stuff like that. And I tried a lot of those things, and they didn't make any changes. But I will say that the EDTA felt like it may have done something, because I felt a burden on my kidneys. And basically that's what it does, is it pulls metals out so that you can pee them out. And I did feel that burden on my kidneys, but I didn't notice enough change in my numbers that I was going to continue doing that. So I don't have a strong opinion of whether that works, but I did see that the other ones for me did not.
Yeah. I mean, when people have serious heavy metal issues, I usually recommend them to go see a functional med doctor that does chelation therapy, because with that, you will get pretty great results usually, unless if you're still adding insult to injury, like if you're still like eating fish, or you still have dental fillings that are perpetually saturating your tissues with the heavy metals, or if you're still working in a coal mine, whatever it is, like you need to like stop doing the thing that's contributing to the problem. Maybe you need to see a green dentist that can do a good job in removing the mercury, whatever it is. But chelation therapy, this is actually making me want to invite one of my friends, this woman, Dr. Shiva Lalazar, maybe on the show as a guest in a future episode, who does this a lot. Like her main thing is chelation and tracking heavy metal numbers before and during and after treatments, and you can quantifiably measure exactly how much mercury is in your system, and you can see its improvements over time with each chelation round that you do. So it can be a huge issue that's screwing up everything. It can screw up your digestion, it can screw up your endocrine system, it can screw up just the health of your bones and tissues. So it's serious. And you should probably, you can look at her website. It's called thehealthandvitalitycenter.com. Her name is Shiva Lalazar, and I'll see if we can get her on an episode soon.
Yeah, and one other thing to talk about on this topic, and this seems to be effective with the people that I have tried it out with, and it seems that when there is not enough mineral in the system, and we've talked on so many episodes about all of the things that the body needs minerals for in order to function correctly. And it appears that when there is not enough mineral in the system, that the body will hold on to more heavy metals as they come in. Because there has always been this thought that there isn't an exit strategy for heavy metals. But now there are some people that are saying that for some people, once mineral levels are okay, that the body has what it needs, that it's more willing to let go of these heavy metals, and they can exit the body more than we thought they could before. Before, we thought you just had to do a chelation or, you know, just bleed so that they'll let those metals out. That's kind of how I brought my iron levels down, was through phlebotomy therapy, where you're just bleeding out every few weeks. Not all the way out, because you're not dead, but you bleed out like a bag of blood, and you're like, okay, and then the body makes new blood, and it kind of cleans a lot of those metals out. But it appears that if you lift mineral levels, it can allow the body to let go of some of that. And she did mention that she has low blood pressure. So that might be worth you testing out, Yulia, is if you raise your mineral levels through the things that we teach by improving digestion and using sea salt and things like that. It could be interesting to see if that helps and lower your mercury levels even further.
Oh, I think we did it.
Yeah, we did the show, Topics.
Oh, yeah. If you like audiobooks, you're going to love our sponsor. Audible.com has given all our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day membership. Go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link so you can get yours. All right. I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we did it. We did the show.
All right. If you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. You can also head on over to willsmybodyofknowledge.net. He's got a lot of like blogs, exercises, great articles. He'll even send you an email asking what you need help with. What is it?
Yeah, if you sign up for the mailing list,
all right,
I'll write you back and ask, what are you interested in?
He'll hit you back.
I'll send you some links to whatever seems most relevant, depending on what you want to know.
Cool. All right.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Doo-doo.